Church temple lot smiles. A little bit rattled this morning, but that's all right. My wife might say I'm rattled all the time, but that's okay too. I had a sermon that I thought I was supposed to do. I had this song that's been on my mind for, several days. And so I'm downstairs and I'm putting this thing together and this and that and all that, and I'm struggling with it. It's not falling into place. I know I don't work well when I'm tired, and it's about 1:30 last night, or this morning, I should say. I got up, and then it hit me. I don't have anybody to be in charge, so I text Sean, and couldn't find out. He texts back in about 20 minutes. So I got up this morning, and I was tired, making the coffee. I was thinking about what I needed to do. I was thinking about how I was going to put that together, and the Lord said, "That's not it." So great. I better hurry now, because we're going to be late. So I went downstairs, and I had some of the material, but I'm glad he did that, because I'm telling you, I don't want to go on my own strength whatsoever. So how many of you feel like they're doing good? Boy, that... Me either. And I had it brought to my attention that... Not anybody that actually said, "Hey, Mark," but the Lord brought it to my attention that I still got a lot to work on. But I'm glad he brings it to my attention. But anyway, I was thinking about David this morning, King David, to set the record straight. I might be calling this the heart of the matter. You can change it if you want. Anyway, I was thinking about David, and I was thinking about, you know, that he says that the scriptures say that he was a man after God's own heart. And his life wasn't all that easy. There at one time, he was running from the king of Israel, hiding out in caves and whatnot. But then the Lord made him king over Israel, and he was the main man. He's a righteous man, but he had problems. We all have problems. And I was thinking about David, you know, and it's like, you know, man after God's own heart. He committed adultery. He went out one evening and saw a nice looking lady, sent people over there to fetch her. And he had his way with her. She got pregnant. When David found out that she was pregnant, he asked one of his servants to go get her husband, Uriah. Bring him back and give him a break from the war. Told him he ought to go down to his house. So he could be with his wife, and that David would have an excuse that he could say, "Well, it's not my baby. It's not my child." That didn't work. Because Uriah didn't go down to his house. He slept with the servants outside the door. David found out about it. That didn't work. So he treated him well, fed him good. Gave him some wine to drink, so maybe he might go down to his house. He didn't do that either. David couldn't hide that sin, because you can't hide sin from God. So he called his servant, said, "When you go back to war, put Uriah up front in the fiercest battle you can think of." This is my words. I don't want to read it all. So he did that. And sure enough, Uriah was killed. "My problems are over," David said. So not only did he commit adultery, but he murdered somebody in a roundabout way. Put him up front, hoping and knowing that he's probably going to be killed, so he could hide his sin. That didn't work either. Seems like as hard as David tried, he couldn't get rid of that. He could not hide it, I should say. Because this is found in 2 Samuel, chapters 11 and 12. But anyway, can't remember who Nathan was. Anyway, he came in and he told David this story about this rich guy who had a lot of ewes and this one guy who was poor and only had one ewe. And somebody came in and they were going to take one of the rich man's ewes. He wouldn't have missed it, but he didn't. He took the one ewe that this poor man had. They told it to David, and David said, "That guy's going to die. He shouldn't have done that." Nathan looked at him and said, "That's you." As in, Y-O-U. And he said, "Not only that, but your child's going to die." So the child got ill, and David fasted and prayed and did everything that he could think of to try to change the Lord's mind that the Lord might not take that child. I mean, can you imagine how devastated you'd be? I mean, even not only knowing that you committed those sins, not only knowing that you committed adultery and you got another man's wife pregnant, and then you ended up killing her husband. And now the child's going to die? I mean, how shattered can a person get? But when it was over, he cleaned himself up, stopped fasting, went and ate, and went about his way. He took the step towards getting back on the right track. It was over. He couldn't do anything about it. Now, not that he didn't feel bad. I'm sure that he was crushed, devastated. And at that time, he probably thought, my life's just shattered. How many of us have ever felt that way? I mean, I might not have committed adultery or had somebody killed, but we've done things that we know have hurt people and nothing else have hurt the Lord. I know I have. I'm not even going to ask you because you didn't raise your hands last time. But we all do it in one way or another. That's why we have repentance. That's why we can come to the Lord and we can bear our souls before Him and He'll forgive us. But it's still there. You know, I don't know how many of you in your life had done stupid stuff and you felt like, you know, things were just shattered. Let's go to the Book of Mormon. Page 445, the 19th chapter of Alma. This is where Alma is having a talk with his sons, and he comes to his youngest one, Corianton. Wasn't real happy with him. Verse 4. "Now this is what I have against thee. Thou didst go on into boasting in thy strength and in thy wisdom. And this is not all, my son. Thou didst do that which was grievous unto me. For thou didst forsake the ministry and go over into the land of Siren amongst the borders of the Lamanites after the harlot Isabel. Yea, and she did steal away the hearts of many. But this was no excuse for thee, my son. Thou shouldest have tended to the ministry wherewith thou was entrusted." Yes. Fallen. His dad's found out about it. Everybody knows about it. What kind of example is that? Verse 11. But Alma goes on and he says, "I will not dwell upon your crimes to horror up your soul if it were not for your good. But behold, You cannot hide your crimes from God, and except you repent, they shall stand as a testimony against you at the last day. You know, what we do is, what we do in life is we're setting ourselves up to judge ourselves basically by the deeds we've done in life. Because there will be a judgment, and if we haven't changed our heart and if we haven't repented of our sins, they're going to hang over us big time. Verse 16. Because he was told that he needed to give heed to the counsel of his older brothers, because evidently they were smarter than he was. They were more in tune with staying out of mischief, you might say. And Alma says, and give heed to their counsel. Suffer not yourselves to be led away by any vain or foolish thing. How many times are we led away by vain and foolish things? Because we let our guard down. It's okay. It's okay. It'll be all right. You can repent later. Now, what kind of deal is that? Suffer not that the devil lead away your heart again after those wicked harlots. Behold, O my son, how great iniquity you brought upon the Zoramites. For when they saw your conduct, they would not believe my words. Now, how would that make you feel if you were a son or a daughter? And it's like, they won't believe me. I can't bring them to salvation because of what you did. And now the Spirit of the Lord doth say unto me, command thy children to do good, lest they lead away the hearts of many people to destruction. Therefore, I command you, my son, in the fear of God, that you refrain from your iniquities, that you turn to the Lord with all your mind, might, and strength, that ye may lead away the hearts no more to do wickedly, but rather return unto them and acknowledge your faults, and retain that wrong which ye have done. Seek not after riches, nor the vain things of the world, for behold, you cannot carry them with you. Now this guy's got to go back and say, I'm sorry. I did what I did, and I don't have an excuse. I just did it. How low do you think he was feeling about that time? Pretty low, I would think. But page 484. First chapter of Alma, verse 185. And thus ended the 19th year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi. Yea, and there was continual peace among them and exceeding great prosperity in the church, because of their heed and diligence which they gave unto the word of God, which was declared unto them by Helaman and Shiblon and Corianton and Emma and his brethren, etc. Yea, and all those which had been ordained by the holy order of God, being baptized into repentance, and set forth to preach among the people, etc. So he must have got himself back together. He must have repented of his sins, and he must have got back up on his feet. Because here it says Corianton was one of those people that helped out in the preaching and guided people in the direction that they should go. So there's always hope that it doesn't matter what we do. I mean, that's wrong. It does matter what we do, but there's always repentance, and there's always we got to get back up, and we got to take that first step. We got to tell ourselves, "I can do this. I can do it with the help of the Lord." Also, in the Book of Mormon, on page 423. 16th chapter of Alma. Yeah, probably going to. I really haven't narrowed this one down. Oh well. Verse 152. What it is they're going to compare the word. They're going to compare the things that they know of, that they've been taught, that the word from God. They're going to compare it to a seed. Now will you compare the word unto a seed? Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling emotions, you'll begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, and it beginneth to be delicious unto me. Isn't that the way it worked with you? Those that have been baptized and accepted the Lord, somewhere along the way, the word was planted in your heart and you decided, we'll give it a chance. Whether it's your upbringing or whatever reason you might have. And you found out it was good. It changed things. It made things better for you. It guided you down the path you should be on. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? Yeah, it did mine. I say unto you, yea, nevertheless, it has not grown into a perfect knowledge. Are you just beginning? You know, you're just beginning to know that the things that the Lord says are true. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, and then you must needs say that the seed is good. For behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yeah, it will. But yet those things that you're learning, they're not a perfect knowledge. But God doesn't, He wants us to take that step in faith. Verse 161. And this because you know, for you know that the word hath swelled your souls, and you also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand. Oh, then, is not this real? Wasn't it real for you? Yeah, it was. I'm on a trip. Yep. Yeah, it was. It was for me anyway. I can remember, the more I learned, the more thirsty I was to learn more. And it seemed like I'd have these blasts of knowledge that I'd understand what the scriptures were saying. Then all of a sudden it'd quit. I think it was Jim I asked. I said, why is that happening? I said, well, you know what? Everything's coming at me. I'm believing it. And I'm learning it and stuff. It's because it's in the scriptures. It said line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. God was stopping all those things from happening because I needed to let that stuff sink in. The Lord knows what He's doing. I say unto you, yea, because it is light, and whatsoever is light is good, because it's discernible. Therefore you must know that it is good. And now behold, after you have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that it might that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed was good. Was it good seed? And behold, as a tree beginneth to grow, you'll say, let us nourish it with care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth unto us fruit. You let that word get rooted in your heart, so you have something to stand on. You have something to believe in, and you know it's true, and you know it's good, because it feels good. And you thirst after more of it. And you want it. They compare it to a fruit, a good fruit. You know. But if your seed's bare, if your ground's barren, or if you're not staying in the Word and trying to learn, it just withers up and goes away. So it is good. Same things in the Bible, basically. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Talks about the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and a whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he expounded and went through the parable of the sower. Skip over to verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why don't you just tell them what's going on? He saith, he answered and saith unto them, this is Jesus, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It wasn't given to them to know it. They had to figure it out. Verse 15, For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. When they really want to know from their heart, instead of just doing the ordinances because the law says to do the ordinances, they're just going through the steps, it's not in their heart. They took the law and they twisted it to fit the way they wanted to live their life. And they thought they were doing good. Heart wasn't there. Verse 18. And Jesus here says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. And we take it in, and you know, it's kind of like this deal, is everything's beautiful, everything's going to be all right. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. You know, when somebody says, that's not true. Aquila and Priscilla, they're not sisters. They're husband and wife. You know, something like that. Or persecuted. Are you Christian? You think you're so good? He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and this deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becometh unfruitful. Like the guy that came to Jesus and said, what is it that I got to do to receive the kingdom of heaven? I do all this other stuff. I fast. I do this and that. And Jesus told him, well, you're doing good. But he was rich. He said, give all your money to the poor. And he walked away. Jesus knew what it was. So what is it that's going to make us walk away? I hope I don't have to find out. One time I was talking with another elder, and I said, talking about this, and he said, what's your sellout price? What is it that'll make you turn away? I don't know if we all have it or not. I don't know. I worry. I don't want to know mine. Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bringeth fruit and bringeth forth same a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So, with all that said and everything, it's like, what kind of soil am I? Am I good stuff? Or am I just a bunch of rocks? You know, do I have my heart in the right place that those seeds can take root, and then I can learn from them, and I can build upon it. And then I can be the man God wants me to. I hope I'm good soil. I think I am. At one time, you know, things were just exploding. You know, now I worry about the cares of the world. Because as I was talking to Sean, he works longer hours than I do. And I'm older than he is. So I should work less. No. It's just that I don't focus where I should all the time. Because my excuse is, and it's an excuse, it shouldn't be, I'm tired. And I get cranky. Because I work in the heat. And it's not right. So I got to step back. I got to do like Paul says. I got to look at myself and I got to say, it doesn't matter if I'm working these hours. It doesn't matter if I'm hot and tired. Get a grip on yourself and do what you're supposed to do. And I've got Bibles in my company truck. I got Bibles in my office, you might say. They haven't gotten used a lot lately. So I got to pull them out and put them up in front of my face. So when I take regular breaks in my truck because the air's on. And it's dangerous heat out. I mean, if you're from Phoenix, you're laughing. But it is. It'll drain you and you'll get exhaustion, which will turn into stroke before you can think about it. So I take those times and I sit in my truck and I hydrate myself up the best I can. And what do? I sit there and do nothing. I could be reading and studying the scriptures. But you know, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. We have somebody that, even though when our lives are busted apart and everything's going wrong, and we may have caused it or not caused it, because sometimes things just seem to happen. But God can use all the stuff in your life for good. You know, you might be going down a different path than what He has planned for you. And He might put some devastation that you think, why would this happen? But when you look back on it, with hindsight, 2020, it had to be done to get you back where you needed to be. Psalms 147. Here David writes, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, He hath gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds." He'll take your heart if you give it to Him, no matter how bad it is. If you give Him all the pieces, He'll put it together in the way that is best for you. He'll give you a new heart. One that's not made of stone, but one that beats for Him. As Paul says, He'll be a new man. He'll be a new creature. If you take that step He wants from you in obedience and full purpose of heart, and take that step into baptism to let Him know that you're willing to take upon you His name. Let me go to Luke, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 16. This is entitled in my Bible anyway, His Ministry Begun. Talking about Jesus here in chapter 4, verse 16. "And He cometh to Nazareth, where He had been brought up.
And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This is who I am, and this is what I've been sent to do. To heal our broken hearts. To set us free from the chains of Satan. The things that bind us down and wrap us up with what they call flaxen cord, which just keeps getting tighter if we don't get rid of it. And I go to the Book of Mormon. There's hope, people. I don't want this to sound down. Because there is hope. That's what Jesus Christ came for. That's why he paid the price for us. He bought us back. That we can be his if we just accept it. Page 628 of the Book of Mormon. Because God, he wants our heart. He wants us to give all of our heart to him without holding it back. 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter. Start at verse 48. This was after Jesus' crucifixion and all the devastation that went on this continent, where the flatlands burst up into mountains and the mountains went down into flatlands and cities were swallowed up by the sea and all kinds of devastation, and there was darkness for 3 days. In verse 48, they heard a voice, and it said, "I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings." The things of the Mosaic law, the ordinances that they did, not out of their heart particularly, but they were to do it, so they did it. I don't want those anymore. "And you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit." He wants our brokenness. He wants us to have to rely on him and his Father. I mean, he paid the price for us. We should be his. Verse 50, "And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not." You give him his heart and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Of course, you got to go down through the waters of baptism, but he's going to give it to you. If you give him your heart, it's a promise. That if you come to him with no deceit, he accepts that. And he gives you the Holy Ghost. And he heals your brokenness. Because he's Jesus. That's what he came here for. You know, this whole thing came out of a song. I've had this song on my heart for quite a while, off and on. But this morning when I got up, as I was making the coffee, I was walking around praying and I was asking the Lord, well, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. And he says, that ain't the sermon I want you to give. And I said, okay. And then he gave me pretty much what I have right here. But this song was written by Bernie Herms, Matthew West, and Randy Phillips. I believe the original group that sang it was Philip Craigs and Dean, if you know who I'm talking about. But this is entitled, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. And the version I like is the recent one by Danny Gokey. Does anybody know the story behind the song? I didn't either, but it's kind of unique. I'll start with Danny Gokey's testimony. He was on American Idol. And a month before he was to appear on American Idol, his wife died. She had an illness and she had to go have her heart operated on, and she didn't make it. 1 month. You think his life was shattered? Man, he lost his wife, just boom. You know, I got this great opportunity in front of me, and my wife's died. But he went on anyway. He got back up and he took that step. But the story behind the song is, from what I can come up with, is there was a pastor in Ohio, and he was one of these class A personalities. I mean, from my understanding is he'd skydive and he'd ride motorcycles and, you know, he'd do all this stuff. He had a heart surgeon in his congregation. So I asked this guy, I said, I want to see open heart surgery. So we got to witness it. And I'm not going to get real particular, but basically they cut your chest open and they crack it back and they take your heart out. And they got it in their hands and the surgeons fix it. Whatever's wrong with it, they fix it. But before they put it back in your chest, because you're on this machine that keeps you alive, they got to get that heart beating again. Well, the pastor's there and he's watching, and they can't get this heart to beat again. So they try other things and nothing's working. Because it's kind of like me sometimes. I got my heart out there and nothing's working. But anyway, this pastor thinks, I'm going to see somebody die right here. But the surgeon does something he shouldn't do. He takes his mask off. The person's out of it. But anyway, he gets to... I'm sure you can probably hear things, what they probably call it, subconscious. Anyway, he gets down on his knees and he whispers in this in her ear. And he says, we've done everything. We have fixed your broken heart. There's nothing wrong with it anymore. We can't get it started. And he says, you're going to have to tell your heart to beat again. And it did. And then they closed him up. And that's the story behind the song. And it goes, shattered like you've never been before. You know, think about David or your life, whatever. It's falling to pieces. Shattered like you've never been before. The life you knew in 1,000 pieces on the floor. Words fall short in times like these. When this world drives you to your knees, you think you're never going to get back to the you that used to be. Tell your heart to beat again, close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. I'm sorry. I was afraid this was going to happen. Beginning. Just let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up. Take step one. Leave your darkness. Feel the sun. Because your story's far from over. And your journey's just begun. Let every heartbeat and every scar be a picture that reminds you who has carried you this far. Because life sees farther than you ever could. Because love sees farther than you ever could. In this moment, heaven's working everything for your good. So tell your heart to beat again. There are times when you may feel so devastated that it's over. I can't go on. Sometimes you actually have to. If I remember right, that's what Danny Gokey felt like the Lord was telling him after his wife had died, is you got to tell your heart to beat again. You've got to take that step. You got to get back on your feet. I've got better things for you. I don't know why he had to take his wife had to die. But he's doing good things now. You know, just let God take a hold of your heart. Let Jesus have it. And it'll be the best adventure you've ever been on.